Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 3. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Romans chapter 9 and verse 29 says, And as Isaiah said before, Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Isaiah chapter 1, 9, Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Sabaoth is a word that means hosts or armies. He is not the Lord of just two or three. He is the Lord of hosts. It's found over 240 times in the Bible, so it must be a very important word. It must be an important name for God. In fact, it is the militant name for God. And the word is hosts, not a mob. Host gives us the idea that this is an organized group who are under someone's authority, under someone's command. And the host of heaven is under the authority and the command of God. It means that he has a multitude of ready and able servants that are waiting to carry out his command. This name suggests that he is the Lord and the commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven. You might not have thought about that before, but God has his own army. And they are ready to do his will at his command. And they are an organized group that serves the Lord. Now, Zechariah was a prophet that was coming back to the remnant in Jerusalem, and they were given the job of rebuilding the temple. The temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and so he was part of this remnant that had come back to rebuild the temple. And in his short book that's named after him, he refers to the Lord of hosts 53 times. Why? Because they were involved in conflict, and he knew that there would be conflict in trying to rebuild that temple. And you know that whenever we get involved for the Lord, whenever we want to do something for the Lord, there's always conflict, isn't there? The devil doesn't like it when we do the Lord's will, and so he'll stand up against us. But when we do the Lord's work, we need to realize that the Lord of hosts is with us. And he has an army of angels, of ministers that are there that will fight on our behalf. So I've got three points to the message this morning. First of all, the boy prophet of the name, Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. In chapter 2 and verse 4, And said unto them, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. As I was meditating on that verse in preparation for the message this morning, there was two words that just kind of leapt off the page at me. Young man. And said unto him, Run, speak to this young man. I want you to know today that God speaks to young people. In fact, God speaks sometimes clearer, I think, to children and young people than he does adults. Samuel had a little hard time distinguishing the voice of the Lord, but when he learned the voice of the Lord, when he learned to listen to the voice of the Lord at a young age, he became God's spokesman for his entire life. Young people, God wants to speak to you. God wants to use you. Don't wait until you get older to be used by God. Don't wait until you reach what we term to be adulthood to be used by God. God can use you right now. Young people, children here today, you can hear from God. God can speak to you and you can be used by God. And it's a thrilling testimony to hear of people who get saved at a young age and they grow up listening to the voice of God and serving Him all the days of their life. Don't let anyone despise you because they might think that you are too young to be used by God or that you're too young to hear from God. You're not too young to hear from God. Only set an example sometimes for the older believers. God can use you no matter what your age is. God wants to use you even if you are young. Zechariah was one who persevered. Others were waning and slacking after they arrived back in Jerusalem from captivity. But Zechariah remained faithful to what God had called him to do. He simply remained faithful. You know, it's not a very exciting testimony necessarily, but it is a great testimony to be able to look back on your life and say, I remained faithful to God all my days. Young people, you don't need to sow wild oats. You can remain faithful to God all your days. You can accept Jesus Christ into your heart as a little child. And you never have to turn your back on that. You never have to wander from that. I remember a teacher that I had in Bible college who said, he wouldn't use the word rebellion, but he said every young person goes through a sorting out period where they question what they have been taught and they turn away from God for a little while. I'm here to tell you today that doesn't happen. Doesn't have to happen. I think that he was probably justifying what happened in his family, but it doesn't have to happen. You don't have to sow your wild oats. You don't have to turn your back from God. You can remain faithful to God all of your days. We have young people in this church as proof of that. They do that. They serve God faithfully, continually. And what a great joy it will be able be for them to be able to look back on their life and say, you know, I didn't have to go through what some of the other young people did. I remained faithful to God. Perseverance, it's the key word in the Christian life. The biblical Greek word for perseverance, hypmon, is used 32 times in the New Testament. It's sometimes translated patience or endurance, and it means to remain under or to stand firm under opposition. In your life, you will face many battles. I'm not going to kid you about that. You will face battles in the Christian life. At times you will think that other people have it easier than you do, and you know what? You might be right. But the Bible says that joy is not based on absence of difficulty, but an unearthing of your gifts and employing them for the kingdom of God. Some of the joyous people I've ever known had gone through hard trials. They had difficulties, and yet they were able to discover the gifts that God had for them, and they unearthed them and they employed them in service for God. With God's grace empowering you, you can do all things. Winston Churchill said, persistence is what gives losers a winner's edge. Persistence is what makes winners out of losers. Let me ask you, what makes winners out of quitters? Nothing. If you quit, you don't have a chance to win. But if you persevere, you can turn the tables. Instead of losing, you can win. So I want to encourage you today. That's my purpose in this message. I want to come alongside you today. Have you ever seen somebody trying to lift weights? They might have been laying on a bench and they're lifting weights and they're having a difficult time. But people come along to that bench and they give them a word of encouragement, or they might even help them with the weight a little bit. And because of that encouragement, they're able to lift it the rest of the way, and they're able to succeed and do a difficult task. Well, that's what I want to do to you today. I want to come alongside of you and cheer you and say, you can make it. If you don't quit, you'll win. If you persevere, you'll be victorious. The Bible says that we shall reap if we, what? So, yes, but also faint not, all right? So I want to encourage you today. Sam got a party favor to blow. This is good therapy for him. He needs to build up his lungs and his muscles. But when Debbie first came home with the party favor, he was blowing on it. But it wasn't working. He couldn't blow hard enough. But our cheering section got around him. And we all said, come on, Sam, you can do it. You can do it. So Sam started blowing. And he did it. And we all clapped and cheered. So every time, for a long time after that, Sam would just sit there going. Why? Because there were people there who encouraged him. Otherwise, he probably would have just thrown it away. He would have given up. We need to encourage one another. When we see somebody struggling, we need to come alongside of them and say, you know, I just want to encourage you. You can make it. I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. And I know that you can do it. The power of encouragement is the lifeblood to success. If you want somebody to succeed in life, you just simply come alongside of them and you give them encouragement. If you've ever been down and out, you know how important encouragement can be. Sometimes when I get down and out, it seems like the Lord just does a great thing. He'll have somebody send me a card or call me on the telephone or do something for me that will encourage me. We need to be that for each other. We need to be each other's encouragement. But as much as we can be an encouragement to one another, it should encourage us even more to know that the Lord has the host of heaven at His disposal to work on our behalf. When you get down and out, when you find that the road is difficult and you don't know if you can win, you don't know if you can make it, think about the Lord of hosts. He is an organized group just waiting for His command to go to your aid. The boy prophet of the name. Number two, the bountiful provisions of the name. Examples. First of all, God's name when you confront the enemy. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine. This, of course, is Goliath. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the who? Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David didn't come to face Goliath alone. He had a secret weapon. He had a secret power. He came in the name of the God who was the Lord of hosts. And because of this, David was able to run to his enemy. I love that. 1 Samuel 17:48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. David didn't sit back there and cower. David didn't sit back there and think, I wonder if I can beat him. I wonder what my chances are. And take a poll of those around him. How many of you guys think I can beat this guy? No, when David saw the challenge, he knew that the Lord of hosts was with him, and he hasted. He ran to meet Goliath, and he looked him right in the kneecap, and he said, I'm going to give your carcass to the beasts of the air and the birds of the field, and all those gathered here today will know that there is a God in Israel. You know, that's the way we need to face our problems, so that everybody will know that there is a God in your life, a God that is not just in heaven somewhere, but he's involved in the affairs of men. He's involved in your life. We need to get hold of that reality today that God is involved in our lives. And run to meet our enemy. We can stand fast instead of stepping back when we confront the enemy. When we rely upon the Lord of hosts, we will have the confidence that we will ultimately succeed in really acting as though it was impossible to fail. I think that's the way David approached that situation. It was impossible for him to lose. It was impossible for him to fail. And with the Lord of hosts on your side, no matter how big your enemy is, no matter how powerful your enemy is, with the Lord of hosts on your side, it is impossible for you to fail. David didn't hesitate for one moment. All of the rest of the armies, they just stood back. They heard this challenge. I mean, it's really a ridiculous thing when you really know what happened. Goliath would come out and he would challenge somebody from the army of Israel to come and fight him. And you know what the Israelites would do? They would put their swords in the middle, like a circle. You know, you've ever seen a basketball team or a football team? They get on the sidelines, they all put their hands together like this, and they say, let's go! And then they go out and they do battle. Well, the army of Israel did that, only they put their swords in the middle. And they put their swords there, and at the appointed time, they all said, let's go, or let's fight. And then they all went back and sat down and cowered from their enemy. David did not do that. He faced Goliath. He ran to meet Goliath. And we should face our problems and our enemy the same way. We should go out to meet them, knowing that we can overcome Joshua's words to the Israelites are for us as well. Joshua 10:25. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Number two, God's name when you come to your extremity. Psalm 46, verses 3 through 11. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, pause and think about it. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11 again repeats, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God doesn't give us wings to fly away from our problems. He doesn't take us out of the world to keep us from experiencing pressure. Instead, he gives us the strength to walk through the pressure and to be enlarged even when we are under stress. God allowed the three Hebrew children to go into the fiery furnace, but he kept them safe. Four wound up in that furnace. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And God won't always turn down the heat. They had the heat turned up higher, hotter on the furnace for those three. But he'll always get in there with us. And he'll give us the strength to overcome whatever we face. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now we can cope with our problems in one of four ways. We can run away from them. We can go around them, only to face them again later. We can ignore them, which is what the Israelite army did with Goliath. They ignored him, hoping he would go away, but he wasn't going to go away. Or we can do what David did. We can turn and face them, knowing that God will overcome. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Haggai chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I mean, that's a beautiful passage. We could spend probably all day on that passage alone. But I want you to know that the command there is to be strong and do the Lord's work. Why? Because as verse 4 says, Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. We don't have to fear. We can do the Lord's work. Why? Because he's with us. He works with us. A story is told about Henry Ward Beecher, one of the great preachers of the American past. He once waged a war against gambling and drunkenness in a particular city. He spoke up so boldly that he stirred up a lot of trouble in the community. One of the leading citizens who happened to own the gambling casinos and was supplying the alcohol for the city's drunkenness was going, in fact, he was going bankrupt because of Beecher's preaching. So he met Beecher on the street one day with a pistol in his hand. And he said, Take back what you said or I will shoot you on the spot. Beecher responded, Go ahead and shoot. I don't believe you can hit the mark as well as I did. See, he didn't fear. He didn't fear. He did the Lord's work. Why? Because the Lord of hosts was with him. That's courage. That's a man who knows his God. That's a man who knows how to stand in spite of opposition. James chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." God's ears hear us when we cry. We need to cry out to the Lord. Our cries reach the ears of the Lord of hosts. And then He puts those hosts to work on our behalf. Number three, the bright promise of the name. First of all, it promises a spirit to rebuild. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now we sing that song, "Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord." The context of that is in the context of rebuilding. So I'd like to ask you a question this morning. What needs to be rebuilt in your life? Is there some family relationship that you need to rebuild? Do you need to rebuild Bible study into your life? Do you need to rebuild prayer into your life? Do you need to rebuild church attendance into your life? Do you need to rebuild witnessing into your life? What is it that needs to be rebuilt in your life? God promises that the Lord of hosts will be there with you if you are interested in rebuilding. The gates and the walls of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt, and I think what they represent needs to be rebuilt in our day as well. Let me just go through these real briefly here. The sheep gate. The sheep gate is where the sheep went to be fed outside the city to a pasture, a place where they are fed. The necessity of the church is first meeting the needs of God's people who are referred to as sheep. You and I, we're to do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And then with the fish gate was the next gate mentioned. Jesus told of his disciples that they were going to be fishers of men. Do you need to rebuild a zeal for the lost in your life? And then the third gate was the old gate. These are the foundational principles of the church. These truths never change. Truths like repentance and faith and baptism and the apostles' doctrine. Those truths, the truths of the Bible, never change. Our society changes and they would like to change God's word, but the truth is the principles of God's word will never change. And as people are brought through the fish gate, they have to be properly taught the old truths of God's word that never change from generation to generation. The valley gate was next. It speaks to us of the experience again of meeting one another's needs. People go through valleys. People go through trials. People go through trouble. At that time, they need people to show them compassion and kindness. Do you need to rebuild the gate of kindness in your life? The gate of compassion for other people. The dung gate was the fifth gate. The purpose of the dung gate was for people to have a means through which they could dispose of all their waste and garbage. The Holy Spirit is purging. He's refining His church today. And if there are things in your life that is not what it should be, you need to get before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit cleanse you of those things. You may need to rebuild a spirit of holiness in your life. The fountain gate speaks of the refreshing restoration ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's establishing good habits, because after we go through the dung gate and we put off all the bad habits, we need to replace those habits with good things in its place, good habits in return. Do you need to rebuild good habits in your life? The water gate speaks to us of the ministry of the Word, water of the Word. You need to rebuild times in God's Word. The horse gate spoke of two things, the restoration of burden bearers, because horses bear heavy burdens. Do you know that there are people all around you that are bearing heavy burdens? Sometimes Unless you get close to them, you won't even know that they're carrying a burden. But as you get closer to them, you realize the heavy burden that they carry. And you can go alongside of them. And you can carry that burden. I think this is one of the gates that really needs to be rebuilt in our lives, because we are so busy with our own lives that we don't take time to notice the hurts and the burdens of others. And then it can speak to us of putting off human strength and death to the self-life so that we can take up God's strength and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the last gate that had to be rebuilt, the ninth gate, was the East Gate. This is the final restoration of the church and the return of Jesus Christ for His perfected bride. We can rebuild the other gates, but someday, praise God, Jesus is going to come through the East Gate. He is going to split the eastern sky. And as lightning shines even from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I look forward to this gate being rebuilt and opened up that Jesus Christ might come. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds. And then it promises a shepherd to redeem. I'm going to wind this up here. I'll just give you scriptures if you'd like to look these up later. Zechariah chapter 13, 1 and 2. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd calls his sheep, leads his sheep, feeds his sheep, cares for his sheep, knows his sheep, protects his sheep, died for his sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And it promises a sovereign to restore and rule over Israel and their land. The Lord of hosts is a restoring name. Passage there, Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 21. There is to be a restoration of holiness. The believer is to be a partaker of holiness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And as partakers of His holiness, we have a heavenly calling. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you, what needs to be restored in your life? What needs to be restored in your life? Are there things that have been broken down? Relationships. How about your relationship with the Lord? Has that been broken down? And you need to have that relationship with Him restored today. You know, God is, He is the God of the miraculous. I just love how it talks about how God is able to restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. I mean, He can make it so you don't even miss a beat if you get back in His perfect will and let Him restore those things that need to be restored. You do your part. You begin to rebuild your life. And the sovereign God, the Lord of hosts, will bring restoration to you. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Martin Luther wrote these words over 400 years ago in our Christian hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age, the same. And He must win the battle. No wonder David could say, "The battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord's." That battle that you're facing today, it's not yours, the battle is the Lord's. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Yes, He will use you to win the battle. As you rely upon the strength of Christ, though, you will be victorious. How many here today would say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm facing battles in my life. And I need the Lord of hosts. I really need the Lord of hosts to show Himself strong on my behalf." Could I see your hands that I might pray for you today? Amen. 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 You can put them down. How many of you realize today that there's something that needs to be rebuilt in your life? Amen. 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 The Lord of hosts promises to give you His Spirit and be with you. As you do your best, His Spirit will come alongside of you and not only help you rebuild, but will restore. Heavenly Father, I thank You for those that have raised their hands today. I pray that in this moment, Lord, they would not rely upon their own strength, because that is certain loss. But Lord, they would rely upon You. You are the captain of the Lord of hosts. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would bring victory into their lives, that the victories that You have won, that You have achieved, would be theirs in reality today. Show Yourself strong. Send the host of the army of heaven to fight on Your people's behalf today. Lord, show Your sovereignty. Show Your rule over their problems, over their enemies. And Lord, for those who are recognizing that things have to be rebuilt, Lord, send Your Holy Spirit along to help them. And then go even further and restore those things that were broken down. Restore those things that were wasted. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal.
Aren't you glad the song doesn't stop there? Yes, yeah, so let's go on to verse 2.
Did we our own strength confine, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus as to that may be, Christ Jesus it is He. Lord Sabaoth His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, nor God hath willed His church to triumph over us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for Him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us abideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, Thy body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Amen. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Of His kingdom, of His dominion, there shall be no end. Amen. All earthly kingdoms will fail. God's kingdom shall not fail. His kingdom is forever. With that thought today, God's kingdom is forever. And if God is on your side, the Lord of the host of heaven is on your side, who could possibly stand against you? Praise the Lord.